This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I just got bombarded with texts from parents.
I mean, are they offering help though? That's the thing.
Okay. Lengthy. I mean, paragraphs. Because they've all
that's
my,
a novel. That's a novel you just got. Hold that back up again.
All my buddies. Yeah. Have been through this years ago. We're a little late to the party here. The kids are all like,
oh yeah. I mean, I get it. My youngest is 11. We don't have treats time anymore.
Right. He's talking.
If we need a new bat, maybe we'll go on Amazon. But
yeah, I mean, my buddy Paul's like a weekly schedule written down, identifying when the treats will be earned. There will be excitement. And he has a whole psychological breakdown of how this would work. This is.
I also have never had the problem of my kids wanting treats because we just never give them anything.
Well, that would have been the smart way to go. Just never give them. I mean, that was my situation.
You get nothing, and you will like it.
We'll continue to work on it.
You will get what we give you, and you like it. That's all I heard growing up. You should be happy you have what you have. You know, ungrateful kid.
We in the family, we've been talking about Ken's trip to Disney, and we want no part of going to Disney. We don't have any interest, but we know that there will be an age where that's all, especially the daughter, that's all she's going to want to do. She's already wearing the princess dresses and
everything.
You're
going to need like a 401k fund to pay for that trip.
Well, that's what I mean. Like we're going to dig in on this. And I'm like, all right, yeah, in 5 years, we'll let our daughter book the reservation.
Start saving now.
All right. The Cleveland Browns. And I should mention Cavaliers domination. We'll get to some more Cavs here. In a bit, but the Cleveland Browns, there is a quarterback. I wanted to get to this because over the weekend, Browns fans started getting hope again.
I know
Daryl is in a perpetual state of no hope at any time, but...
No, I was pretty hopeful in 2023.
Well, Browns fans saw one report about a quarterback that they think not only can help us win, but can also help us keep Myles Garrett. So you want to talk about the best of both worlds. I mean, not only do you get a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, that even though did not have a great year last year, still showed signs. I mean, there were times last year where Matt Stafford
Joe Flacco is available again?
No, it's not Joe Flacco. It's Matt Stafford. And the report yesterday from Tom Pelissero said that the Rams have granted Matt Stafford and his agent permission to talk to other teams about his market value. Stafford has a $49.7 million cap number this season. Rams can save $27 million by trading him as a post-June 1st transaction or $23 million by designating him post-June 1 cut. First of all, are you a little surprised that McVay and the Rams front office would be willing to part with Matt Stafford at this point?
Yeah, a little. I always have to ask the question, why is he available? Why would the Rams do this? But I kind of like the idea. if Andrew Berry can make it work, if he's a post June 1 cut, or you know what I mean, and he gets his money and the Browns can make it work with the salary cap, because I don't think they can make it work with his existing contract. I don't think the Browns can take that kind of money on right now. But if it can be similar to a Kirk Cousins thing, if you're telling me I got a choice between Kirk Cousins and Matt Stafford, it's pretty close. I might lean Cousins just because of the Stefanski relationship with him, but Stafford's a pretty good option. Now, he signed for 2 more years. He's like Miles. He's got 2 more years left on his deal. I don't know if the Browns can make the cap and the money work. Cash isn't the issue, by the way. Like, the Haslams give Andrew Berry a blank check. I mean, Andrew Berry spent over $300 million last season on a 3-win football team.
That's incredible.
So,
you said how much again?
Over $300 million.
It's $100 million per win.
Yeah.
Hey, can't say the Haslams don't care.
I've
heard a lot of people say that. A lot of people tweet us that. They say they don't care. It's all about them making money. I mean, that's a crap load of money.
I also didn't include what they spent on the facility to give them their new facilities, the weight room and the all that stuff that they put in last year. Yeah, they spent money on. They just aren't getting any return on their investment. But yeah, if they can make it work, Lima, yeah, I'd sign up for Matthew Stafford. I'm ready to sign up for Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, I'll take either one of those.
Is that because of this draft class? If it was next year's draft class, would you be saying, no, you can't go with a 37-year-old?
You still need, in my view, you still need someone to start for you. I'm not crazy about starting rookies a lot. It depends on the rookie, right? Like, for instance, if the Browns end up with Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I don't want either one of those guys starting week one. I want someone else to start. Let them learn. Let them, you know, take your time. Let's not throw them into the fire and set them up for failure. Let's make sure when you put them on the field, they're set up for success. Because that also has been part of the Browns' problem, is they have gone through this now 40-man deep quarterback quandary. Is a lot of these guys that they brought in have either been off the scrap heap, dumpster, you're taking a flyer on a guy. I just don't think that in many respects, when it comes to quarterback, the organization has set a lot of them up for success. They've been circumstance has forced them to put guys on the field before they're ready to be put on the field, right? So I think Kirk Cousins might be, as far as like what we believe is going to be available, I think he's the best option.
See, would you still bet on that it's going to be Kirk Cousins starting week one for the Browns this season?
That's where I'm leaning. I'm not going to bet on anything, but that's where I'm leaning.
I mean, look, the Stafford thing is fun to talk about because he's the best, right? Do we all agree on that, or is there holdouts on that?
Well, he's scheduled to make a lot of money here, too.
Well, yeah.
He's got a base salary of $23 million. And then $26 million in 2026. Can Andrew Berry make that work with the current salary cap conditions? They're going to be fine. Now, I don't want to come off like I'm overblowing the Browns salary cap situation here. They're going to be fine. The fact that it's going up over $20 million, that's a big help. They're going to restructure Deshaun Watson for the 21st time since doing that contract, and everyone's going to lose their collective minds because they're restructuring Deshaun. Well, they have to do that. They're going to get under the cap just fine, and they're going to be able to do what they want to do in free agency. I don't know, though, if they can afford. The reason why Kirk Cousins is so appealing, Anthony, is he's already getting his money from the Atlanta Falcons, and so you can bring him in for close to the veteran minimum. The Falcons are paying him, not you. Can make that work easily. I don't know if the Browns can make a $25 million a year quarterback work right now. Does that make sense?
Well, the Capros have told me they could do anything. They could do anything with the way they structure the contracts and the way that they push money forward again. Look, Joe Banner is not a fan of almost anything any team does these days, including the Browns.
Right.
His ex-employer, but you know, he said last week, and I think right now he's proven to be right on this. The pushing the Deshaun money into the future is just not going to be a winning proposition.
Well, at some point,
I'm surprised the Browns aren't getting a little more heat on this.
Well, I don't know that I've been giving them heat. I have said multiple times my preference would be they would try and swallow as much of that cap hit as possible this coming season, just because I don't believe the Cleveland Browns are going to be contenders this year. I'm sorry. I don't. That could change in free agency. Andrew Berry works his magic, whatever. I don't think they're contenders.
Can it change in free agency?
I don't think so. I don't think they're contenders this year. And unless they get all the stars to align and whatever, whether it's Kirk Cousins, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Moore, whatever happens with the quarterback, and you get a situation where one of these guys steps in and they just have a phenomenal season, sure. A great quarterback can cover up a lot of warts on a roster. But my point is there's a lot of warts with this Browns roster right now that people just don't want to acknowledge. My perception on where everyone is at with this Browns team is they're just a quarterback away. I think that's what's driving fans. Like, get one of these kids. They're a quarterback. No, I am telling you right now. Last season proved, you're not a quarterback away. The quote-unquote problem quarterback, Deshaun Watson, right? He was out of the picture by week 8. Nothing got better with this team. Nothing improved. You went 1-6 with Deshaun starting, and you won 2 games after without him on the field.
Jerry Jeudy came alive. I will say that.
But
I gotcha.
You're...
Yeah, the team was done. I mean, the team also, the DTR, because they were going to see what they had in them. I mean, they drafted them. You're not going to never play a guy you drafted.
Nothing.
Sure, but they were going to make sure that was absolutely the case. They weren't just going to assume that. I don't know why anybody was surprised by that. Plus, it worked doubly because not only did you finally get to see if he was what we were all worried about, you also lost games, and that got them all the way up to where they are now, number 2 in the draft, which is way better than where they might have been had they just stuck with Jameis. They might have been like 8, 9, or 10.
But yeah, if you can find a quarterback that'll throw for 3,800 yards and have a 2 or 3 to 1 touchdown to interception ratio, yeah, you're going to be competitive. I still don't think that they're a playoff team next season, but at least it'll be watchable. It'll be a hell of an improvement over what was on the field last year.
Yeah, I want an answer here, Daryl, when we come back. 216-474-0092. If they miraculously make a Stafford deal work financially, they make their situation desirable enough where Matt Stafford would actually agree to come here, what would that do to Myles Garrett? I promise we will get back to the Cavs coming up after this Browns conversation, because something is in play. Something to me that I said earlier in the show, but if you missed it, could be in play if the Cavaliers continue to play like this. And I'm not just talking about a championship, as that is more and more on the minds of Cavs fans. 216-474-0092. Daryl is in for Ken Carman. Did I just see Cody Kessler breaking down the NFL on the NFL Network?
That is Browns legendary quarterback Cody Kessler to you, sir.
When's the last time he actually was in the NFL?
I don't know. Let me Google it for you right now.
It didn't look like Cody Kessler either. It looks like he had a full makeover.
I have no clue who that person is up there.
But they're saying it's Cody Kessler.
You could have fooled me.
I asked Daryl a question.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm getting an answer to your question.
Okay.
The last year that Cody Kessler was in the NFL was, drum roll please, 2018 with Jacksonville. So,
that long.
He had a 3-year career.
He didn't bounce around. Normally guys, no. That's why you gain respect for somebody like Brian Hoyer, who we're going to have on tomorrow,
yeah,
and every single Tuesday in the lead up to the draft. If you can stick around, there are different ways to do it. Like Brian Hoyer found a way to stick around a long time.
You know who else is another business of football champion?
Who's that?
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, Colt was another one. Absolutely. Made a ton of money. Good. You just have to be, you have to show flashes, right?
Yeah.
He was still starting in games last year, right?
Yes.
Or this season.
Well, two seasons ago. Before he ended up in the TV booth, and quite frankly, I think he probably should have stuck to playing quarterback.
It's been rough. Yeah, cool. there were some rough moments doing some college football, well, right?
If they're all lucky enough, in 4 or 5 years, they will come on our show as our weekly pre-draft guest.
Hell yeah. And again, we will have on Brian Hoyer tomorrow. Weekly segment. It's great catching up with him. He got some people really fired up on his quarterback thoughts yesterday. We'll see now that he's had a week, some more opportunities to comb over the film where Brian Hoyer is on guys like Shedeur Sanders not throwing at the combine. We haven't heard from Cam Ward yet, but we do know Shedeur Sanders is not going to throw. I asked you a question point blank. Matt Stafford, is that good enough, Daryl, to have somebody like Myles Garrett think twice about trying to force a trade?
I think that it would give Miles something tangible to think about. I don't think either of these top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, I don't think those are good enough to get Miles to say, yeah, okay, I'm back all in. But what has my curiosity right now, Anthony, when it comes to the Garrett in or out, aside from the fact that, you know, the Browns are the ones that really hold the cards here, because they don't have to trade him. They're under no obligation to do so. Although, if Miles wants to, he could make this a real ugly situation. Is that whatever plan that Andrew Berry shared with Myles Garrett, whether that was in the exit interviews or any subsequent conversations they had after that, because nobody was surprised in that building, really, that Garrett made the trade request. I think they may be a little surprised by the timing, Monday of Super Bowl week. But all that being said, whatever plan Barry gave him was not the least bit of interest to Garrett, which makes me have some pause about the direction the team is going. It goes back to what I had said earlier in the show, Anthony, about your best player don't want to be here. He doesn't believe in your plan. He doesn't believe in your organization anymore. He doesn't believe you know what you're doing, right? I am really curious now about what it was that Barry presented to Garrett that didn't even move the needle for Miles. Because this was brewing, right? We knew this was brewing in late December when he came out and said what he said. Miles, I should say. But yeah, the fact that whatever Barry told him or tried to sell him on did not move the needle. So I can make a case that Stafford should move the needle, but there's a big part of me right now that just feels like Garrett's just checked out.
Well, I wonder if we'll get that from further messaging from Miles as we go along, because so far he's been nothing but respectful of Cleveland. I'd say he was pretty respectful of the organization. He didn't go off on Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski. Yeah. He didn't go off on Jim Schwartz. He didn't go off on, you know, any of that stuff, at least specifics to us.
Well,
behind
Schwartz,
the scenes,
Schwartz
I don't know.
Schwartz helped make him a defensive player of the year.
Yeah, by the way, if the Browns were better last year, he would have been a two-time defensive player of the year.
And he's looking at that saying the same thing. Yeah, if I had a competent team around me, I could be a two-time defensive player of the year instead of one. We could have been back in the playoffs, could have had another crack at the Super Bowl. He's probably going to play another, seven seasons, got 2 years on this deal. Let's say he signs another five-year deal, right? He's got at least seven seasons left, and he's sitting there doing the math of his football mortality, with all the respect to the fan that called in earlier saying he was 60 years old and he didn't know how many more years he's got left to wait for this team to get good. But he's doing the football mortality math here and saying, I got seven more cracks at getting to and winning a Super Bowl. And I'm looking at where the Browns are right now, and I think that the percent chance that the Browns are going to get me there is, next to none.
Yeah, but here's what I'm a little annoyed by. And I've been watching, and I haven't crushed Miles. Like, he's played here, 8 years? 7 years? He's been here a long time.
His first year, they didn't win a game.
Yeah. So he's been a part of this. He's not going to want to sit through this again. And if we're being honest, the fans right now are as down on the Browns as they've been in a while. So obviously somebody like Miles is going to be down in a situation, especially when he has to watch these other pass rushers get all the acclaim come playoff time, when he knows he can impact a game. But what I would get a little annoyed with is if it boils down to, I only want to play with Patrick Mahomes or the Super Bowl Eagles or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. Well, like, come on, dude, everybody in the NFL would love to play with great quarterbacks.
Like you,
but
you can't
you
have
need
the
a
list.
Great quarterback to get to that level.
Okay, but you can't if your list is like four teams and that's it. Then you that's the NBA.
Right.
That is officially the NBA. That's Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City after 2016.
I wonder where he got that idea from.
Right.
Who might he have gotten this idea from there, Anthony?
But if you're limiting, but here's the problem. If
who represents him, by the way?
But the issue is, there. I get the LeBron reference, but if you're trying to make this sensible in the NFL,
I try and make things sensible.
You can't just hand the list of teams over to the Browns and say there's three teams.
Well, the teams that make sense,
then that
are,
makes it impossible for the Browns to do business.
Of course, the Lions make sense, the Commanders make sense, the Bills make sense. I guess you could throw. You mentioned Philadelphia. Okay, fine. The rich get richer, even richer. But to me, the team that really makes a ton of sense is Washington.
He's even been asked point blank about Jaden Daniels, and he all sorts of.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Praise.
Couldn't contain himself, right? John Dorsey up in Detroit, right? I think that makes sense. But the Browns don't have to trade him. That's the thing. Like, and I think Miles also understands that. This isn't the NBA. He doesn't have the leverage. He can request the trade. He can put all the statements out he wants. He can do all the TV interviews he wants and scream for the mountaintops that he wants to be traded. The Browns are under no obligation to trade him. And when you're talking about fiscal responsibility, Lima, forget about roster responsibility.
Yeah.
From a fiscal response, it would not be in the Browns' best interest to trade him, not only allowing a future Hall of Famer out the door, but also, too, taking a $35-plus million salary cap hit this year. That's not smart to do. So he doesn't hold the cards. This isn't the NBA.
Well, I think he has one card.
I mean, Clutch might represent him, but I don't... I mean, Miles might be on the level of LeBron when you're talking about, like, you know, football players. But when you're talking about roster movement and stuff like that, it doesn't work like that in the NFL.
I think he has one card. How down in the mud is he willing to get? Because if he becomes a jerk about this, both privately and publicly...
Which is, by the way, a polar opposite of how he is perceived now,
right?
I mean, the night that trade request was made, the Cavs played at home, and I remember having conversations with people. I said, if Myles Garrett was here tonight, he'd probably get a standing ovation from this crowd, from this 19,400 and whatever crowd that's in attendance. They'd probably all give him a standing ovation. They put him up on Humungatron after asking to be traded away from the Browns. Think about that for a second.
Have opinions shifted a little bit since then?
I think that there's some fans that are a little annoyed by this whole thing now.
Yeah.
You know, they were annoyed by the Radio Row, Media Row tour he did, right? It's like, okay, we get the point. You don't want to play here. No need to rub the nose in it and type in those type of things. But I think fans get it. I mean, I get it. I get why he wants out of here. If I was in his position, I wouldn't want to stay either. I wouldn't want to waste my career here like Joe Thomas did. God bless Joe Thomas, and I have tremendous respect for him. He didn't want to go to the Denver Broncos, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. Joe Thomas could have had a Super Bowl ring.
We could have had a first-round pick.
You know what I'm saying?
Jack in Lorraine. Go ahead, Jack.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to respectfully disagree with Daryl.
You don't have to be respectful.
he said a couple of things that kind of is contradictory, so I don't know which side.
Not the first time.
He mentioned how he thinks the conversation between Garrett and Andrew Berry didn't satisfy Garrett because there's, I don't know how.
He asked for the trade, so clearly whatever Berry told him did not entice him to stay or want to be here.
And I think what Berry told him was the absolute truth, is that this team is probably minimum 2 years, maximum 3 years, like you've been saying, and the rest of your cohort there, because no matter who you take at quarterback, if it's one of the top two this year or you wait till next year, I'm with you. You sit a rookie, you give him a clipboard, and you say, watch, listen, and learn. So if that's the path they're going to take, which is the most logical path, in your opinion and mine, then it makes sense for Garrett to take his 3 years that it would take to get this quarterback up and running and go somewhere else and play. It's not that he has less faith in the Browns. He knows it's going to take a minimum of 2 to 3 years. And like you said also, he's got football mortality to worry about.
So where am I contradictory, though?
Because you were saying that he doesn't have faith in the Browns and the path that they're taking. I don't think that's the issue.
Okay.
I think he understands the path that they're taking, and he understands the logic behind it. And it's better off for his career to move on. It's not a lack of faith. It's the honesty of it.
That's fair. I'm not going to push back on you, Jack. Yeah. Not going to push back on that.
You're respectful. You're being too nice. Come on,
I think that's fair.
That did not go the way I wanted it to go.
No, I thought Daryl was going to lose it. I thought we were going to have a moment here.
Let's get Johnny, see if he can push him over.
Let's go to Johnny. How are you, Johnny? Welcome to the show.
Daryl. Thanks, guys. Daryl, honestly, like, your takes about, like, us not being competitive next year are great, but you sound like the biggest nerd, like a defense lawyer right now. Like, oh, we have this in our leverage. Like, what are you talking about? You
Miles just said has no leverage. He has no leverage. He can ask for a trade all he wants. The Browns are under no obligation to trade him.
His leverage. His leverage was him getting a standing ovation in front of a soul. That's his leverage.
That's not leverage.
It is leverage. Let him go.
It's not leverage.
Yeah, but Johnny,
the guy's going to get a standing ovation.
Hold on, Johnny.
Would you want to stay in this toxic relationship with him? Be like, well, if you leave, then we'll do this.
I'm the one that's been saying that the Mike Tomlin phrase, one volunteer is not hostages. I don't want Miles to be a hostage here. He don't want to be here anymore. Move on from him. But it might not be fiscally responsible for the Browns to do it. And also, roster-wise, do you really want to trade him a Hall of Famer?
Or fiscally responsible, or neither was the Deshaun deal. You know what might not be responsible management-wise is just hoarding this over everybody, saying, oh, we're not going to trade you.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
I don't disagree. I'm all about trading Miles at this point. I don't want guys that don't want to be here. If you don't want to be part of the program, thanks for the 8 years of service. Good luck
to you. Now he doesn't want to be a part of the program, but you're holding on. I mean, it sounds like you're holding on a little bit. Like,
I'm not holding on to anything. I'm just trying to allow some fact to get into the story here, in that the Browns are under no obligation to honor his request.
Let's go to Cool Ray in Bedford.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I have to disagree slightly. Like, you guys, I've been listening to you guys every morning, and you guys are assuming that he want to go because of the quarterback situation or whatever situation could be.
What other reason is there to go other than the team doesn't win, and you can't win without a quarterback?
Or you can't win without a coach. Maybe he told Barry, like, listen, change the coach and I'll maybe stay. And Barry said no. Have we ever even considered that was part of it?
What,
nobody has.
What, but, Kevin Stefanski's the problem here?
To him. I'm saying to him, maybe Kevin is not the coach that's going to lead this
reckless
team.
Speculation.
So how do we know that wasn't what he wanted? But here's the thing, though. You're right. The Browns have no obligation to trade him. But y'all forgetting, there is a card that he can play. We all know that he had foot injuries. He can say, I'm going to have a surgery and sit out the rest of this season.
The Kyrie maneuver.
That's where he has all the leverage, because then the other teams are going to be like, oh,
we can just wait and give them absolutely nothing for them.
Well, I think the last player
sat out, that didn't really go well for him either. Deshaun, remember he sat out and
All right, I wanna respond to that. The Stefanski part of that did get my eyebrows up. I haven't heard a lot of people, you know, reference that. Is there a chance that somebody like Miles would like to see somebody else in charge? Well, Daryl's got him fired up. Blew up the phone lines, and I promise we'll get to the Cavs because I have what I believe to be an outstanding question for all the Cavs fans that are watching this team excel. This team has been like a wire-to-wire, incredible basketball team, a dynamo, if you will, handling their business against the Knicks, crushing the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks. I built up like 3 weeks ago. I'm like, I think people are kind of looking past the Knicks, and what do? They beat them by 40?
Yeah.
I mean, that was humiliation.
Knicks are 0-7 against Cavs, Celtics, Thunder.
There was another, the Thunder.
Please tell me more about how they're true contenders in the Eastern Conference.
Oh,
yawn.
I exchanged a text with Spike Lee. Well, a pretty famous Knicks fan.
Oh, okay. I know.
Spike Lee?
And
no, but you and Spike are tight?
Down a level, but I know who he's talking about. Has a podcast.
Podcaster.
Yeah. He was on a show on the Home Box Office channel.
Podcaster. Wow. Moving up in the world, Lima.
I was catching some reruns last week.
Oh, really? He doesn't come on our show anymore. But
I said, boy, your Knicks thrown in the towel against my Cavaliers.
We getting a name or what?
Jerry. We'll call him Jerry. He said, no heart, H-A-R-T, OG first game back, need Robinson back badly. They're basically convincing themselves that Mitchell Robinson is the difference between them going 0-6 or 0-7 against the good teams.
So where's the excuse train stop at for the New York Knicks fans?
The guys are playing the entire games. Probably didn't help that the night before they had gone into overtime against Atlanta.
All I heard in that text was
excuses.
Yeah.
Isn't it fun to be on this side of things? Like, we get to hear this from Ravens fans and over the years, Steeler fans. And, you know, we're really not hearing much from Chiefs fans except when Owen is excited about the Super Bowl. We won't actually talk about what happened in that Super Bowl. But
know what you're talking about.
Isn't it nice to be on the other side of things? Like, we get to be the trash-talking team. We get to be the trash-talking fans. And our team can back it up. We haven't backed it up all year.
How about Jared Allen dunking on Ja Morant last night, and all Ja can do is like hug him.
Yeah,
and
it was like
laugh. Friends
again. And this was after the skirmish earlier in the game. Right. And I'm like, bad blood. I think the Cavs took care of that pretty quickly. Like, by the end of the game, Memphis was just like, ho hum, we're having fun out here.
Yeah. Got a little nervous in the final minute, though. Got a little tight for a second.
No, they were fine. We had Max Strus. Max Strus connected on the big three.
You know what?
Boy.
Make your free throws. That's all you got to do down the stretch of games. Make your free throws. By the way, the last 5 minutes of that game took a whole... that thing took an eternity. I've seen nine-inning baseball games played faster than the final 5 minutes of that game.
It was this is a third quarter. It took forever, too.
I almost thought I was going to go from the Rocket Arena. I'm still getting used to the new name. I thought it was going to just, you know, make my commute from the arena over here.
Yeah.
That's how long that game was taking last night.
At 9 o'clock, I have my devious Cavs question where I think I found a way for a Cavs title in June could actually outdo 2016 for some fans. I'll ask that question at 9 o'clock. 216-474-0092. Before we get to the phones, Joel Bitonio got a chance to talk to some reporters. I saw it on Scott Petrak put the video up on his social media feed, and Bitonio, did he provide more clarity on whether or not he's going to play football and be on that offensive line with the Browns this year? Here you go.
For me personally, I don't think his, you know, request is really going to impact my decision. I do understand, like, he's frustrated. I think we were all frustrated this last year. It was it was disappointing. You know, we were all disappointed in the way the season turned out. So I get that side of where Miles is coming from. You know, obviously we want Miles on the Cleveland Browns. Like, he's a best pass rusher in the league. He's dynamic. He opens things up for our defense and obviously our offense as well. All those things, like, you know, you don't want to get rid of a generational player like that. So we're you know, hoping they can work things out. I don't know the inner workings of everything that goes behind closed doors. But like I said, for me, it's not going to affect my decision one way or the other. But, you know, we want Miles to be a Cleveland Brown for, you know, a long time.
That's such a Joel Bitonio answer. I love Joel.
Well, Joel is somebody who, at this stage of his career, can talk a little bit more freely. And him saying at the start of that, like, yeah, I understand why he's frustrated. And you heard what Denzel Ward said about, was it 3 weeks ago?
At the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, at the Super Bowl, where Denzel's like, you know.
Miles don't want to be here. I don't know. I want to be here.
Yeah, he walked it back.
Yeah.
And I think that
because someone called him and said, you have like a $40 million cap number. Yeah, well, you're not getting traded.
And also Denzel is, I mean, he's like another fan favorite. And I think he also is a good guy and wants to be here.
Unlike Miles, who can go home to Dallas or to, you know,
Denzel's exactly right.
Got to come back to this city. This is where he's going to be.
Now, could
whether
Denzel,
he lives in Florida or L.A. or whatever. It's always going to be Cleveland as home.
LeBron doesn't seem all that affected by that, though.
Well, just eventually,
I don't
though.
Think Denzel Ward and LeBron James are on the same level, Daryl.
I think
no offense to Denzel Ward.
You have to win at some point for all these guys because, yeah, Denzel might be a nice guy walking back this year. Let's see how things are going if the team is in last place, you know, next
Which
year.
Which is basically where they've been for most of the last 26 years.
But not with this group. I mean, this group has had highs and lows.
Yeah, they're up to third place with this group.
They have had
big leap, Lima. They've gone from last place to third place a couple of years.
Look, it's why you have Myles Garrett talking the way he's talking. It's why Joel Bitonio has to answer questions like he's answering right now.
I feel like I owe Browns fans and the Browns an apology. This is a renaissance for them. They're 40-44. This is the best this franchise has been since Marty Schottenheimer. Congratulations, Cleveland Browns. You are 4 games under 500 over a 5-year stretch. Good for you. My bad. I you know what? I'm way too tough on them. I'm trying to raise the bar. I'm trying to have standards for fans. No, you're right. It's me. I'm just too negative. This is a renaissance for the Browns. Winningest combination, winningest regime since Marty Schottenheimer at 40-44. My freaking bad.
Terrell Ryder. Boy, where's this coming from?
It was 19. Like, what are we doing? And we're back to talking ourselves into Matthew Stafford's going to save the day. Kirk Cousins is going to save the day. Shedeur Sanders is going to save the day.
Daryl, the way you are talking, though, is you're coming from a mindset that they probably should trade Miles.
Yes.
They probably should start over.
Probably, yes.
Would you have cleaned house? Would you have got rid of Barry and Stefanski?
I would have fired Barry in the offseason. Yes.
And then if you fire Barry, then the new GM comes in and...
The problem with firing Barry is basically they have this shared accountability. We really don't know who's really making the decisions. Is it Paul DePodesta in the background pulling the strings? Is it really Andrew Barry? Like, we still don't know who pulled the trigger on Deshaun. Everybody's kind of taking the bullet for that one, right? So, this was just such an unmitigated disaster. You spent $300 million on a football team that won 3 games. And then you want to say, well, Deshaun's the problem, right? Well, he wasn't on the field for the majority of the season, and you were no better.
You were better.
No, you weren't.
I do think you were better.
I mean, you were a little more entertaining, but, you know. By the way, left over the weekend.
Game.
Did you see the quote from Jameis Winston talking about the, you know, he's really got to work on eliminating those terms. Dude, you're like 11, 12 years into your career. If you haven't done it by now, you're never doing it. You are who you are.
I'm not going to trash talk somebody who said
turnover machine.
Somebody who said Cleveland is a 90-day city might be the best city in the country. I'm not going to trash somebody who said that.
I'm not trashing. I'm just keeping it real when it comes to
how many days are there in a year?
365.
I mean, 90.
Last year there was 366.
So. 90. I'll take 90.
I snuck leap year in there.
It's okay. Should have been 91 then.
Let's get to Mike in Streetsboro quickly. Mike, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, when Myles Garrett went on Radio Row, I mean, he pretty much pulled a LeBron, and, you know, at this point, you want to trade him and get a good value for him. So if he wants to be traded, don't let the door hit you in the butt.
Dietrich and Willowick, go ahead.
All right, look, they should let Miles go because we're just wasting his time because you want him to sit and learn. That's what people say, and I hate that. Sitting and learn doesn't work unless you got a quarterback that's capable to almost getting you apples like Drew Brees and the guy that came after Philip Rivers, Joe Montana, Steve Young. It doesn't work unless you have a quarterback that is capable of getting you to the playoffs because you know you got a team around you then. So who you going to have them sit and learn, a bum? Have them sit and learn behind me? No, that does not work, ever. So just let Myles Garrett go because next year is going to be a waste anyway. We might as well get some picks or something like that. Only thing we can do is get a free agent, and hopefully he can do something, but if Shador or one of those other quarterbacks is not a dog when he first come in, sitting and learning is not going to work, especially when you only got a window of 5 years, and it's really not five. You got four with an option, so you're going to sit a quarterback for 1 year and then let him play the second year.
All right,
and
DJ,
what if he sucks, you know?
I appreciate the phone call.
Great timeline breakdown.
I cannot believe. I mean, I can believe. I think Daryl brought it out of him. I thought people were going to sit and fight with Daryl all day today.
I'm totally responsible for all this.
I just
blame me for the Browns' failure. It's all my fault. You know, they can't pick quarterbacks
Maybe this is why I'm like, just take Shador Sanders because at least...
They got twice as many people on their influencer committee than they have victories this past season.
That's shots.
What did the influencer committee do to you, Daryl? You're a man of... intrigue and influence. All right. I did find a way where I think the Cavs title in June could outdo 2016. LeBron James is involved.